So what a week. What a time that we are in right now. You know, ultimately, most times of year at this stage, we would be getting ready to celebrate and remember the Feast of Jesus Christ. And certainly that is where our hearts and minds should be. But it would not be right of me to not address what is going on in our society and what is happening around us right now. I think I got more questions this week than I've had in a long time. People asking questions about, is this the end of the world? Is this a plague? Is this nothing? Is this propaganda? Is this a one world takeover? Is this a case of fear? Are we being ruled by fear? What about faith? How do all these things play together? And I want to take some time today in this message to address these questions from a biblical perspective, to talk about what God says about some of these issues. But I want to make sure that I say one thing right off here at the beginning, and that is, as followers of Jesus Christ, with all the change that's going around us in our world and our society right now, this changes nothing for what we are to be doing as followers of Jesus Christ. I hope that you hear me. If you hear one thing from this message today, I want you to think about this, because it's these moments when we can take a pause, that we can take a rest and realize this does not change anything. You were created by Almighty God. You were given life. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be holy and blameless in Jesus Christ. You were saved by His sacrifice, by His death on the cross. You were cleansed from your sin, from your guilt, from your shame, by the perfect cleansing blood of Jesus. By His resurrection, you have a hope of resurrection. By His life, you and I have life. And because Jesus came and gave His life so that we would pass from death to life, so we have the hope and the promise of eternal life. Nothing that is happening in our world has changed any of these things. And you and I, still today, as followers and believers in Jesus Christ, still have the hope of the resurrection of the dead, still are looking forward to the kingdom of God, and still are living with this hope and faith in us today. Nothing has changed that. And what about what we as Christians are to be doing? Jesus said to take up your cross daily and follow me. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That hasn't changed. Loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, that hasn't changed. Loving your neighbor as yourself hasn't changed. None of the things that we as Christians are to be doing has changed. In fact, if anything, what this has done is sobered our society. It has sobered us financially. It has sobered us with our health concerns. It has sobered us in the way that we're living. And in this time of trial and in this time of testing, this is the time when Christians can really bring forth the light of Jesus Christ. In kindness, in humility, in service, in love for one another, and in the declaration of the hope that we have. We live on an earth because God put us on this earth. We have a hope for eternal life because God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to be resurrected from the dead. And we have a hope in the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead to a life immortal, to a body immortal, into a body incorruptible. God has given us this hope. God has given us these promises. And we have to take this and remember that when all the world seems to be crumbling around us with health issues and financial issues and societal issues, when the things start to crumble around us, we need to remember what is solid, where the firm foundation is, on what we are built in our lives. And these are the times that will come into our lives that will challenge the very core of our belief, to put to the test the things that we maybe say. Now it gets tested. Will we love in a time of trial? Will we love in a time of hardship? And will we be the people that God called us to be, to remember our calling and to be about our Father's business? All the sweeping changes in our society doesn't change who we are and what we're here to do. And we need to remember that to shine forth as the light of Jesus Christ within us, to show forth his ways and his spirit, and to be a source of comfort, encouragement, strength, faith, and healing at a time like this, when there's so much uncertainty for one another. So much can fall when what we put our hope in are things other than God himself and the reasons for which we're made. And so this is the time when we come together to remember why we're here on this earth and to remember what we're doing. It's in the times of uncertainty we need to remember the foundational things, and we need to consider our actions. Now, I want to take time now to start answering some of the questions that I got this week. And the first one is this: is quarantining, is what we're doing being forced out by fear? Should we be coming together despite the orders, basically, that we shouldn't be allowing government to tell us what to do because people are panicking, people are in fear, people are trying to take control of us? Should we just be meeting anyway, regardless of what's happening with this virus and what's going on? See, these are good questions. And the struggle between faith and fear and what are we being ruled by, and frankly, also the struggle between wisdom and foolishness and what are we being ruled by. And the thing is that God gives us wonderful promises, and God gives us also understanding of these promises. And I want to look at one of these promises beginning in Psalm chapter 91. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 91. In Psalms chapter 91, it says this, and notice with me here, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." God gives us many wonderful verses, many wonderful promises. And we have a hope that is in him that is forever lasting. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior." We have life in Christ. We have hope in Christ. We have strength in Christ. We have power in Christ. But I want us to notice here what it says again, that no evil shall befall you, no shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, I received that verse 10 this week: "Nor plague shall come near your dwelling," saying, why are you canceling worship services? Why are we not having a meeting? I want us to think about this in the context of all of these verses, because it also says he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Turn with me now over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And notice with me here in Matthew chapter 4, this is when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go up on the mountain. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he came, the tempter, the devil came to tempt him. And notice this temptation that he gives him beginning here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "The devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down.'" Why? Because of what it says in Psalm 91. The devil quotes the scripture. He says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So here, the tempter, the evil one, the devil, is taking of the verses we just read in Psalm 91 and quoting to Jesus, saying, "That's a promise. lest you dash your foot against a stone. No. It says the angels are going to bear you up. So throw yourself off this pinnacle. Throw yourself down. If you really believe this is true, then get out there. Let's see you do it. What does Jesus say? He just said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt Yahweh, your God. In other words, for Jesus to throw himself down and put himself right into the face of the danger to say, prove the promise, is tempting God. That is a thought that comes out of pride. It is a thought of, I got to prove myself to somebody else. Now, it's very interesting watching the news this week and very interesting talking to people about gatherings and meetings. Because there is something very big going on, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, even in the health sector. And man, what a week it was for us financially and economically in our society. But in listening to people being interviewed in Florida this week, I got to hear several people say, coronavirus isn't going to stop us from living our lives. Coronavirus isn't going to stop us from getting together. Coronavirus isn't going to stop us from partying. Because I'm young, I'll probably get through it. It's not a big deal. But is that the only deal that's going on with this? Is that the only question that there is? You see, if it was just an issue where you got sick or not based on your actions and it was only dealing with you, well, that would settle the issue. It's you and you alone. The problem is that this virus is so contagious. What impact does you having it have on everybody else around you? See, the command to love your neighbor as yourself has a consideration of what actions and steps am I taking in my own life that might have impact on somebody else. Jesus was not throwing himself off the pinnacle. In fact, he knew the testing and tempting of God was not a good thing to do. To be bold, to be brazen, to say, yep, I'm going to throw myself down and see if that promise is really true. There is other scripture that we're going to look at today that speaks to this very thing. But what I want us to consider and understand is when we make these decisions, it's not just a matter of fear. It is also a matter of wisdom. Faith is not mean throwing yourself into the hands of danger or putting yourself in a place where you can either harm yourself or eventually bring harm to other people. What we need to understand about meetings right now is we don't know who all has the virus. That's the biggest problem with what's going on in our world. We didn't even know what this was 3 months ago. Do you realize it's 90 days ago? There was not even a single report on the news about this. Not a single one. We didn't know what it was. A month ago, it wasn't in the United States. We had no known cases in the United States. Nobody had died in the United States. Nothing, even a month ago. This is happening at a very fast pace. It's a very rapid pace. Things are changing around us. And when things change around us, we need to go back into the Word of God and look at the teaching and the examples that God gives us so that we have some understanding. I want to take a look at something here. When we go on to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and look at some of the guidelines and some of the teachings that they have. The first thing that they say about this coronavirus is we need to know how it spreads. We need to know what happens to it. And basically, how do you know if you have an issue? What are the signs of it? What tells you that somebody has it? So they talk about the fact that the virus itself, there's no vaccine for it. It's spread through respiratory droplets, mouths and noses. Basically, there's coughing associated with this. There can be runniness of the nose. There can be a discharge of some kind that's going on that is giving evidence, a symptom to something that is going on in the lungs, in the respiratory system, and through mouths and noses. I want you to notice this in Leviticus chapter 15. It says that when you have a discharge, whether it runs out or you're stopped up by it, you're unclean. Sometimes we don't like to think about the verses that God has given us in His scriptures about the fact that when you see signs and symptoms of an unhealthy response in your body, you need to be conscientious of those signs. Now, our science and our technology today is amazing. The way we've researched, we understand differences between colds and flus and allergies and different things. But ultimately, it's the information with a principle. The guiding principle is, if something is not right in you, you're not healthy. You need to take an acknowledgement of that and understand that you can be unclean. So what do they say? The CDC, you need to wash up. You need to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Leviticus 15:11, whoever the one who has a discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. What do they tell you? You need to wash your hands. You need to be about staying sanitary and cleansing yourself. Avoid close contact. They don't want us coming too close with other people. Notice what it says here. He who touches the body of him who has the discharge in Leviticus 15:7 shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. So God in his word already talked about the fact that we're going to have these runny noses. We're going to have this congestion. We're going to have things going on in our bodies. And when this happens, we need to acknowledge something's not right. We're unclean. But also people need to understand that if we're that way and they come into contact with us, they now need to go wash too. Because as we've been told, if you get this on your hands, you put it on your mouth, your nose, you breathe it in, you also can become contagious with this disease. You can also end up contracting this. Stay at home if you're sick. One of the big principles that God put in the Bible when it came to someone being unclean was to separate yourself from other people. So notice even here in Leviticus 15, everything on which a person who has a discharge sits shall be unclean. He who sits on anything which he who has the discharge sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Leviticus 15:10, whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Why? Because it's contagious. Potentially, you can spread it. You can contract it yourself and you can take it to somebody else. See, the things that the CDC is asking us to do are very much in line with what Leviticus 15 talks about. What about people coughing and sneezing on each other and expelling their discharges? What does it say? Leviticus 15:8, if he who has a discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water. In other words, you need to go wash yourself right away. You need to take care of what's going on to prevent the spread of this and the contraction of it to you and to other people. So I wanted us to look at those things because in Leviticus 15, there is this thought of contagions and there is this thought of how do we go about keeping ourselves in a state of good health and what are the principles that God would have us be looking to acknowledge in what's going on in our world today and what's happening with the spread of this virus. Like I said, the spread of this virus, we didn't even know about this virus 3 months ago. But I want us to think about in terms of the considerations of fear and faith and wisdom and foolishness. Do we need to be afraid of the things that are in this world that can hurt us or kill us? Does God want us to live in a fear of the things that might befall us? Absolutely not. God wants us to live with faith, with confidence in Him, with trust in Him and doing everything right. He wants us to live in faith, not in fear. We talk about in Hebrews 11 that the devil has held us subject to bondage all our lifetimes through fear of death. Fear cannot be part of the way we operate and make decisions. Fear can lead us in many wrong directions. And as it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is during this time we need to exercise the power of God within us. It is in this time that we need to exercise a spirit of love and of sound mindedness. So when we know what is happening and how fast this is spreading, what do we do? Some have said, well, you're looking at quarantine verses in Leviticus 15. That's for people who have it. What about all the healthy people that are right now kind of being quarantined? Business is being shut down. Society is being shut down. Here's the problem with it. because this goes without seeing it, because we can't see where it is, until we know who has it and who's come into contact with it, we have no real means to stop it. Now, if we could test every single human being in the United States at the same time, we could quickly identify it, isolate it, and do that. But how do you isolate it in this circumstance? I want you to think about the fact that a month ago, we had not a case of this in this country. Today, we have thousands of cases of it in this country. And even as of today, we went over 280 people in this country have died from this virus that we didn't even know about in the United States a month ago. I want you to just think about how quickly that's coming about and just think about this. Because if we don't get our hands around where it is, the spread of this happens very, very quickly. It's happening exponentially. And there is actually a lot of wisdom in trying to shut down and cut down the spread of it to understand where it is. Now, I don't know that the procedures, I'm not going to get political or even governmental on this. What I want us to do is look at things biblically to understand that the principles of quarantine to stop the spread of disease and death is a biblical, lawful principle. It is something to say we need to have consideration for one another. You see, if you know that you're having symptoms of being sick, you should cut yourself off from being around other people. But again, the issue with this is you can actually pick up this virus. The incubation period is generally 2 to 14 days. Most people show signs of it at the 11 to 12 day mark, which means you can be carrying it. And they have anecdotal evidence that people are getting this from people that didn't even show symptoms yet. So because of that, we need to have some consideration for one another and what's going on in our society. I want you to think about the fact that we've heard of the first deaths just earlier this year, just a couple months ago. In January, we started to really see this explode. Today in the world, we have over 12,000 people who have died from coronavirus, from reported cases, confirmed cases that are going on. Quarantining in some manner to try to capture and isolate what is going on is necessary. Again, a month ago, no cases in the United States. Today, there are cases in every single state in the United States. Think of how fast that spread. Think of how rapidly that's gone from place to place, and we don't yet know where it all is. So when people say, is it a show of fear to not have a meeting, I'm going to ask you to consider, isn't it an exercise of wisdom? Wisdom in this. Let's say that you come into contact with this virus. You don't know you have it. You go home and kiss grandma, and now grandma gets it, and it becomes a much more deadly and dangerous thing for the elderly. The rates are not good. Some people have been asking and saying, hey, isn't it the same as the flu? I have heard that very many times over the last 4 weeks. I want to give you stats. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to be political. I want you to just listen to the stats. In 1900, did you know that pneumonia and the flu were the number one killers of people in the United States? I didn't know it was number one. Pneumonia and the flu, respiratory issues. In a rate of 100,000, it caused 202 deaths among the population. Today, it causes 16 deaths out of 100,000 people. And the rate of death has dropped significantly from 200 out of 100,000 down to 16. The rate in which people die of the flu is less than 1%. In fact, it's people have varying statistics, but basically even a reasonable stat is 0.1%. Some say it's actually 0.01 or 0.02%. But even at the highest rate, people say it's about 0.1% of all people die of this. Now, in our statistics and what we can analyze factually, China gives us probably the best data that we have on this. They were the first ones to get it, the first ones to really quarantine and isolate where the disease was. Right now, the rate of death is 4%. 4% of closed cases, 4% of people have died. Which means what? It's 40 times higher death rate than the flu. So I just want us to put some perspective on it statistically when we say this is no worse than the flu and why are people acting so dramatically? Well, that's part of the reason why. But I also want to quote to you just what the overall update is on coronavirus and just take a look, for example, at where it is and what the numbers are. Right now, in the rates and the death toll for coronavirus, right now in the world, there are 301,552 documented cases of coronavirus. So far, there are 107,580 cases that have closed. Those are ones where either the person recovered or the person died. In those cases, 88% have recovered, 12% have died. That's a pretty high rate for closed cases. That's as of today. Now, let's believe that that rate will go down. But I do want you to just have some understanding that human beings don't right now have the defense system to fight against this very effectively. That's not a very good rate. We have 193,000 active cases. So even when you look at this overall, there is a lot to recognize. So when we're saying we should just get back out there, we should just be socializing together, we should just basically ignore what the government is trying to do to isolate the problems, I want you to think about the facts of this. Does that make sense rationally to do that? But I think the bigger thing is when we think about love for one another, the tragedy might not be that you or I get coronavirus. In fact, I already kind of expect that I will. But what I don't want to have happen is that I would spread it to somebody else. And the people that are most susceptible right now clearly are those who are elderly and clearly those who are sick and infirm with underlying things that already have respiratory issues, that already have diabetes, that already have underlying physical health issues. When you go through a time like this and you see something happening, you have to think not just about me and how it affects me. We have to think in terms of other people. And what is our demonstration of love and what is the willingness to sacrifice for the good of others? Choices are being made, tough choices. Probably our governments are going to make a ton of mistakes right now. I give it as a given. But ultimately, when you think about your specific role, what leadership role are you taking to make sure that you try to keep yourself as healthy as possible? If you show any symptoms, keep yourself away from other people and to try to avoid contact with anybody just on the possibility that either you or them could spread this to one another. It just makes good common sense. It's wisdom to be conscientious of these things until we can try to isolate these things. Why did God talk in Leviticus about trying to isolate people? Why were people, when they got leprosy, to be isolated, to be declared unclean, to give them a time away for healing? Because God cared about society. God cared about loving others. God cared about saying, we should try to avoid spreading this. Leprosy is a horrible thing. Right now, without the immunity to fight this, this is a horrible thing. So why would we be a part of doing this? I think that when we look at faith, we should never be ruled by the fear of what coronavirus is or even the factual stats of it. Why are we here? We're here because God put us here. What are we doing? We are part of a transformation process where God is creating us and shaping us into the image of His Son. What should we be doing on this earth? Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. That doesn't change. Part of loving is making sure that we're being careful to not spread this to anybody. Part of loving is figuring out what we can do through a time like this to be considerate. If this was easily identifiable in people and not so communicative, we wouldn't need to take measures to be considerate in this way. But I would just ask you that because there's a long incubation, because it can be spread without having that, and because the symptoms even can be very mild, almost unnoticeable at the beginning, but it still can be spread, we need to think about that in ourselves. If we see for any reason that we have it, we should be considerate. A few weeks ago, I was supposed to meet with Scott and came over here, and I'd been traveling. I had 8 flights in 7 days. And about a week after that, I started feeling this pain in my chest. I woke up with chest strain and a cough. And I said, Scott, we don't want to get together right now. I said, I don't know, because going back 2 weeks to a week prior, I had been on 8 flights and I probably should isolate myself. I did, and all the symptoms passed and went away, and I felt great this week. But the thing is, I isolated myself because I didn't want to spread it to Scott, because I love Scott. I didn't want to spread it to anybody else. I basically was saying, till I feel better, I'm not going to be around anybody. My wife and Jack, I was willing to risk them. But everybody else, I put in a safe zone. And the thing is, I found out a couple days after that somebody I had met with had the same thing and was just identifying it as a chest cold. And I'm like, well, if we both got it, chest cold seems reasonable. Anyway, it was very mild. It went away very quickly. It was not a problem. But if I had symptoms right now, I wouldn't be here with you all. I would be isolating myself. And that just makes good sense. Now, if we look at the biblical principles on this, I want us to think about the consideration for other people. When I was listening to the young people in Florida talk about partying, being on beaches, having a lot of communication and basically not being worried about it, maybe for them, if you're willing to put your own life at risk, that's your choice. You can do what you want to do. But here's the thing. When you're talking about how this can spread and go to older people, I just think that we need to have more of a considerate mindset if we have any uncertainty about what we're doing and how we can really be serving. The point is, we need to be willing to live by faith. We need to be willing to help others. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we think about that principle, I want you just to turn. Let's look at another verse here in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 to 2. Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 to 2. Then we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So right now, personally, because I have done a lot of travel, because I have worked with a lot of people, I'm basically limiting my exposure right now to other people. But there are those that are around us that are sick. There are those that are around us that are older. There are those that are around us that are more susceptible to this thing. What can we do as those who are healthy, who are strong, to be serving them? You see, it's probably not the best idea for our elders to be going out, especially if they want to preserve where they are and stay inside right now. It's not a bad idea. It shows wisdom to not be foolish about this when the numbers on the death rate skew so high toward elderly people. So we offer today, Stephanie made the announcement, Beth Jones is spearheading this, but if you are older or you have an underlying condition, allow us to be helpful to you. If you can order groceries through, you know, Amazon or whatever, but you also have a whole church of people who would be wanting to help you through this time. And if we can be of service to you elders, do that. You know, I'm looking here today and I'm not seeing Linda and Cal sitting up here. I'm not seeing Joanna sit over there. I'm thinking about some of the elders in this congregation who I so highly respect. And we just want you to know how much we love you and care about you. And want you to know that if you need anything, rely on us. Please let us help you. Let us serve you in any ways that we can right now. And limiting exposure is a really wise decision through this time till we kind of figure out what is happening. And hopefully we can have some understanding, and hopefully the government will have the wisdom to make the choices that are truly beneficial and to let those who are sick be isolated and then let the healthy get back to work. Because this does have a tremendous impact on us financially, economically. Personally, this week, for me, I work in the restaurant industry. So pretty much everybody I worked with this week was pretty heavily and severely and sharply impacted just from an economic perspective. And it is tough when you are healthy and strong and nobody around you in your immediate circle is sick to be looking at what's going on. But the realities of where we are in society is, they want to try to stop this. They want to try to stop the spread of it. So what do we do through this time to strengthen, to encourage one another, to understand that it's times like this that character gets to show up. Because look, it's easy to complain, isn't it? What does the Bible tell us? To do all things without complaining and disputing. Why does God want us to do that? It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be children of God, harmless and blameless in a perverse generation. It's very easy to go down the road of complaining, of conspiracy theories, of all the things. And let me say again, if this is all somehow a conspiracy theory, and I've heard a lot of things this week, what does it change who I am, why I'm here, why God put me on this earth, what God wants me to do? Do you realize that in every form of government, the world can happen? Jesus Christ himself came to an occupied promised land, occupied by the Romans. Who are we and what are we doing? We have to stay focused on the foundation of who we are as Christian soldiers, to remember that our job is to be about service to one another. Stephanie was talking in the announcements about people out walking. We've seen so many people walking. You know what's interesting about times of trial and uncertainty? It gives the opportunity for people to maybe break down some of the walls and some of the schedules and some of the things that are the norms of life that sometimes can isolate. And what I found as well is people that I don't know just walking have seemed actually a little friendlier in our neighborhood. They've seemed a little more talkative. There seems like the humility is opening up a little more. And yes, we've kept our distance, but the conversations have been a little more friendly because people have been a little more out and about, walking around, getting some fresh air, and just trying to experience what it is to be outside when we're told to basically don't go to work and stay indoors. So I want you to think about this as an opportunity to demonstrate love. This is an opportunity to be helpful in ways that don't hurt you, that don't basically put you at risk or anyone else, but there are many ways to be of service. And maybe one of the greatest things that we can be doing is offering the hope of Jesus Christ. We can be offering the hope of assistance and help for those that are older. You might have people in your neighborhood. You have people who are relatives that you know. Why not do acts of service? Even if this is all to nothing, if what you do is take time to figure out how you can serve somebody else through this, wouldn't that be a blessing? To be using this time maybe where you maybe don't have as much work to do, or maybe you can't even go into work. Is there a way that you could be helpful to somebody in need? Maybe to get the groceries for them, to be helpful to go to the store for them for things they might need or supplies. You can also be helpful. So look for those ways. But also, what about reaching out to one another? Maybe if you're stuck at home, you can do this. There are apps that you can get on, like FaceTime, to talk to somebody. You can get on Zoom and have bigger group meetings. What if you set up, hey, you want to grab coffee this week? Maybe you can't go to the coffee shop, maybe, but what about if you just have coffee? We've got technology now that allows us to have face-to-face fellowship, albeit through a screen. But hey, there's no spitting going on in that, right? There's no coughing, there's no sneezing, there's no anything else going on where you can still have fellowship and be encouraging. You can still send out text messages, emails to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to put out a quote from the Bible and just give some help and encouragement to other people. This is a time where you might have more time, and maybe the tendency when you have more time is to go toward things that tend toward dissipation of life. And certainly you're probably going to watch a little more streaming now than you would otherwise. I'm asking you to maybe take that time and use it to be of service to other people. Are you being thankful for the people in your life, for the people that you work for, the people that you work with? Are you being thankful to your parents, to your siblings? Have you written to them? Have you communicated with them? Are you engaging with the people around you? Maybe now you have time to send that note to somebody that you know in this church who's just a shining example of Jesus to you. You see it, but you've never expressed it. Maybe now's the perfect time to write a little note and just say, hey, I just want to thank you for what you do. I just want to thank you for who you're being. To give life and encouragement to other people. Because we're going to get through this. We're going to come out the other side. And what are we going to be on the other side of this? See, fear, worry, and doubt can be a way to totally tear us apart when we go through trials because we're looking at it the wrong way. Or we can go to all kinds of other idols. I'm always amazed when I read about the plagues in the book of Revelation. And during the plagues, God says, and still they won't repent of their immoralities, of their idolatries. They still wouldn't repent of their sins. And God is saying, what's it going to take? But you know, sometimes when we go through trials and tragedies, what we run to is the best God we know. This is the time to ask, what are we running to now? Can we run to God to give Him glory and honor, even in times of crisis? Can we run to God and find our deliverance and our salvation in Him? Can we run to God together to lift up the people who are suffering? See, we can look at the numbers. I can quote stats. The reality is that in this country, we know that just in the last few weeks here, 280 people plus have died from this. There are thousands more that are sick from it. You might even know people and have been touched by it. Today, this week was the first time I heard of people saying, I know somebody who has this. And people saying, I know somebody who had a family member die of this. We're not that far into it. And this is what we get, the stories of life. What about taking our positions as children of God to offer up for our nation prayers of help, asking God to come to the throne of grace and to ask for His help in time of need? See, it all hits closer if it's you, right? If it's in your family, if you're the one affected. We all get more on top of things when it's affecting us, right? And you have a fever when you're sick, or your child has a fever sick, and you're worried about what's happening to them. We all get a little more intense. But what about the people we already know this is happening to? And frankly, sometimes it's trials like this to wake us up to say, you know, maybe in my life in general, I should be a little more conscientious of the people that are around me that I can lift up in prayer. You have been given the honor of being called into the family of God to be a child of God, to offer up praises to Him, and to offer up petitions with thanksgiving to God for other people. What an honor that is, to be able to offer up petitions for others. You see, in faith, we can go to God and ask for His help, for His strength to help in these times of need. So I want us to think about our elders. I want us to think about how we're living. I want us to think about how God would have us live through this time. Is it going to be with complaining and murmuring? Is it going to be with whining and with conspiracy theories? Or is it going to be with what do we need to do to glorify God and serve each other through this period of time? How can I be a part of the solution to the problem? Because we know that as a society, this doesn't work, right? What's impacted our society, this doesn't work. You can't do this long term. This isn't the way it's going to work out. It's not the way we want it to go. But even when it's not what you want it to be, does it change who we are and what we are to do? It's through trials and tribulations, through changes, through uncertainty, that actually the faith of Christ within us should come forth even more boldly to declare the goodness of our God and of His plans of righteousness and His plans for everlasting life, that we would be His children and shine forth with hope. Because our hope isn't in this world anyway. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is in the life to come, in the age of resurrection from the dead and the kingdom of God. That's always been our focus. God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. That hasn't changed. That hasn't gone away. Where God wants us to be is thinking, how do we come through this trial? Don't let this trial pass without thinking, am I living in fear? Because if we are, we've got to put an end to it by faith. Take courage to overcome by the power of God's Spirit, that we are going to live by faith. Be wise. Don't be reckless and foolish. Think about the impact your actions might have on another person. Be considerate of one another. Take care for one another. And think about how you and I can serve one another whether through acts of charity, through notes, through communications of hope and encouragement and kindness, and through offering up prayers for one another. Friends, this is how we go through times that are hard, to demonstrate the courage, the dignity, and the leadership every human being can do through a time of uncertainty. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your position in your family or society is. No matter where you occupy space in life and the roles that you play in your life, you can show leadership from your position to show what it is to be Christ-like, to show what it is to do good things and right things all to the Lord. And it says, if you are sick, if there's any sick among us, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. And the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. We have that faith. We have that hope. We take those actions. Right now, all of you have the empowerment as children of God to act like His children on this earth, to take action, to bring honor and glory to Him and service to one another. Don't let what's happening cause you to put your head in the sand, to not see it and acknowledge it. It's serious. It's bad. But also don't let what is happening and the truth of it take away at all from the faith and the hope and the life that we have in Jesus Christ through all of this. Our job is to take of the strength that He gives us to be a blessing to others. And so we will do with His help. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we praise You. We give You glory and honor. All life comes from You, all breath. And God, in this time of uncertainty in our society, when we go through hardships economically, with all of our personal finances and so many feeling the pain and repercussions of what are going on through the orders of our government, and also, God, because of those orders, what's happening to society. And God, You know the sickness and the things that are befalling people. And we do not have the answers or solutions, but we know that You do. You have the power, God, that we yearn for, and You have the strength and the wisdom that we yearn for, that through trials like this, we can come out stronger and be refined and perfected, that we can see through these trials and these tribulations, God, that befall mankind, God, that we can see Your love and Your grace. God, You are humbling us, and we ask that You would please cause us to take it as a humbling, and to God, we just ask You to take this and work it together for good to those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. And we ask You, please, Holy Father, that You would pour upon our leaders in government, the people that are making decisions that impact society, that You would give them wisdom, that You would give them instruction, that You would give those that are doing the research information that they need, God, to how to best deal with this, to isolate the sickness and to allow the strong to continue to work, to continue to support those who are weak, to support the society. And God, we ask that You would put us back to work again. Father, help us to learn through this and not just to bypass through it, but to be humbled by it. Help us to be considerate of what's important in life. Help us to remember who You are and to give You honor and praise. We ask that You would help us to value our families, our relationships. We ask that You would give us tenderness of heart toward one another with patience and mercy. And God, when we see people fearful or upset, God, that You would give us the wisdom and encouragement to help them through this time to not be living out of fear, but to be living in faith, to be conducting ourselves with wisdom and with grace in the hope of Your Son and Your salvation. God, we bless You. We praise You through these trials, and we praise You through what we're facing. And God, we look to You to cause us to come through it, God, better on the other side. Shape us through what we face and help us, God, to think about how we can be of service. God, we love You. We praise You. We love this congregation and the people that are here. We ask Your blessing on them all. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.